Okay, tell me your name and what you love, love, love about Camp Solveaway.
Hi, I'm Shane Slice. I love being at Camp Solveaway. I get to swim in the lake and shoot arrows. Hello, my name's Ashley Waters. I like sailing, tennis, soccer, basketball, cricket, relay races.
Honey, you gotta say your name.
Sydney Magnuson.
And what do you love about camp? It's for the radio ad so other campers just like you can find us next year.
I don't like camp. I'm homesick. I really want to go home. I write my mom 3 letters a day, but she says I have to stay. It's not fair. I really want to go home.
Oh, okay, let's just...
I'm Henry Moss, and my favorite part is the talent show. I made a puppet in arts and crafts, and we're going to sing a duet, and it's going to be... Hi, my name is Sharon Ingalls, and my favorite part of camp is every day feels like a week. All my best friends in the world are here. My crush is here. Shut up, Carly. I don't know. I just feel good here. It's fun. I feel safe. I don't ever want to go home.
Tell your parents to sign you up for Camp Solveaway. A great summer at Camp Solveaway is just a conversation with your parents away.
Brendan Carter ignored his alarm clock. He moaned and rolled over and stared at the wall. Magazine cutouts of girls in bikinis, band posters, and signed photos of baseball players hung all over his wall. The rest of his room was covered in baseball trophies and memorabilia. He stared down his arm that was stiff in a cast and sighed. His eyes drifted to a crumpled up letter in the trash from Riddle University rescinding his baseball scholarship for the fall. You can't hit a ball again if all the bones in your arm exploded while trying to catch the ball to win nationals for your team, he might add. Brendan didn't have plans for the fall since he can't go to college anymore, but he did have plans for the summer. Camp Solveaway had been Brendan's home away from home since he was 8 years old. This will be his first year as a senior counselor. He always rolled his eyes and made fun of himself for going to camp when his cool school friends would bring it up. But that wasn't the truth. He loved it there. He loved that everything smelled like a campfire, that you could see the fireflies light up across the lake at night, and he loved that he truly felt like he belonged there. Brendan had brown, spiky, gelled hair, muscles, and an air of confidence. JPC, this is you. Sounds good? You like the part? Great.
What year is this set in, Aaron?
Like 98.
98, okay, gotcha.
So get those references. Just then, an 11-year-old boy cleared his throat at the doorway. He was a small boy with glasses and a neatly packed bag, staring at Brendan. He stared at Brendan and then stared back at his watch impatiently. Timmy Carter was a grade above the kids his own age. He had read every book in the school library and knew a lot about bugs and dinosaurs. He had been so focused on his studies, he forgot to make a friend. That was about to change this summer. He was headed back to Camp Solveaway. And he was headed back a few days early with his cool big brother, senior counselor Brendan. He was going to be popular this summer. He just knew it. Adel, this is you.
Outstanding! Excelsior! Jeez Louise! What are you, a stegosaurus in the winter time? Famously, they took lots of naps and didn't wake up in time.
Leave me alone, okay? I have a growing, changing body, and I need to get my beauty rest.
This again. I know all about puberty. I'm an expert on it. Ask me anything.
Okay. Can you get out of my room?
I see what you're doing.
What's this letter in the trash? Does Mom know?
Yes. Yes. We're all very upset about it. I was going to go to college for free. Mom knows. We had a big fight about it.
Huh. I guess I was in the library. Well...
Stop calling your room the library. It's your bedroom, okay? Just because you have so many books in there does not make it a library.
Actually, Brendan, anywhere I go becomes a library. Because of the knowledge I possess, any room I'm in legally is a library.
Well, get out of my library. I'm...
Shh. You're yelling in the library.
Just don't sit on the corner of my bed, okay? Look, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I know you're trying to cheer me up. I know you're trying to get me out. But, sometimes you just have to be sad. And I feel like I'm just going through it right now, and I just need to be sad for a little while.
Did you know that the North American Yellow Jacket pretends to be sad in order to attract a mate?
Look, stop trying to make me find a mate, okay? You're my little brother. You shouldn't be pushing it so aggressively. I'm 18. I have plenty of time.
But listen, Brendan, would George Brett just lay in bed, huh? Would Don Mattingly just mope around? Would Mike Piazza just take it lying down? No. They'd get up, they'd put their shit in this backpack, zip, and they'd get to the bus on time. Let's go.
Look, also, come on, man. My arm exploded. Please stop comparing me to baseball players. I'm never going to play again, okay? I know it's hard for you to understand, but I'm going to have to develop, I guess, like a different personality because the shit that I was rocking before just will not work anymore, Timmy.
Listen, you have to stop telling people your arm exploded. That sounds insane. The baseball bounced off your pubis mounds and hit your...
It can't be better. It can't be better.
Fine, I'll stop. We have to go.
Okay, fine. With one arm, I throw some stuff in a duffel bag and sling it across my shoulder.
Their mother, Denise, left a goodbye note in stamps, insisting they write her on the counter. She left for her nursing job early that morning, so she didn't get to see her sons off to camp. The brothers were so distracted they forgot the stamps and walked through the streets of Riddle City, dodging the steamy grates in the June humidity.
Wow, look at those grates. Hachi machi.
They bought some fruit and hopped onto a school bus with Camp Solvaway written on the side. The driver, Carl, was sound asleep with a newspaper in his lap. The boys sat in the front of the bus. The sound of their bags landing in the seat woke Carl up.
Oh, you're here. You're the only pickup for today since we're going early. You boys ready?
Wait, really, Carl? We're the only pickup?
Yeah, because you're going early for that bonding or whatever.
Dang, should have brought my Camaro.
Off we go.
Whee!
The city outside the bus turned into highway. The highway turned to rolling hills, then forest, and finally to a big wooden sign that said Camp Solvaway. It could use a new coat of paint, but it didn't feel like summer until you saw that old sign. The boys grabbed their bags to get off the bus. But when they looked down to grab their backpacks, they saw a sharp kitchen knife at their feet. It wasn't from their home, and it didn't come out of their bags.
Brendan, what'd you bring that for?
I didn't bring it, okay? That's not one of ours. Who knows what this school bus gets onto? Probably a bunch of, cooking competitions and things like that.
Well, the knife I brought is plastic. It's so I can do my chopping broccoli bit during the talent show. I love Dana Carvey.
Wait a second.
She chopping broccoli.
He was on a piano. He wasn't chopping. Well, it doesn't matter. Tim,
well,
you're
that's
gonna
the
try...
twist. I'll be chopping actual broccoli. Well, not actually chopping because it's a plastic knife, but you get it.
Wait, you're going to do the talent show this year? That's great, man.
I think so, if I'm invited.
Yeah, I mean, anyone is able to do it, but you just never shown much interest in doing, social stuff.
Huzzah! Well, yeah, I am pretty... Well, yeah, I do have a lot of stage fright, but I figured if I did someone else's bit and kind of made it my own that I would be comfortable.
Okay, I mean, I'll support you, and if you want to run it by me, just let me know.
Why would I run it by you? Are you... Satan?
Oh, is it going to be it's just going to be all Dana Carvey?
The hits.
Okay, yeah.
Well, you boys be careful. There's a big storm rolling in. Going to be bad, boys, so keep an eye out.
Carl tipped his hat and turned around to drive off.
All right, and Carl, get some coffee on the way back, buddy. You...
Huh?
You kept dozing off. I was poking you in the back for a long time on the road. You kept dozing.
Don't worry.
And that coffee's on us.
And Timmy flips him a penny.
Ow!
right in the mouth.
Hi, kids!
A woman with fire-red hair that was about to tip to gray bounded out of the camp director office. She had a dark green, wide-brim adventure hat that coordinated well with what she was wearing. She had hiking boots and socks up to her knees. You could see her Camp Solvaway t-shirt under her 25-year-old overall shorts. Debbie Daffodil has run Camp Solvaway since the 70s with her husband, David Daffodil. Their divorce last summer seemingly hasn't slowed her down. She was running things on her own now. Her Midwest enthusiasm and passion for summer camp shines through everything she does. As she gets closer, they can see she's holding a hammer over her head and running towards them.
Hey, hey, Debbie.
Hi, boys.
Good morning, divorcee. Well, you got some loose nails going around?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Didn't mean to scare you. Classic Debbie waiting till the last minute. There's so much to build, so much to fix before the campers get here. Are you excited for summer, Timmy?
You bet. You know, I heard a rumor around town that Debbie was getting hammered ever since her divorce, but I didn't know it was so literal.
That's so inappropriate, Timmy.
Timmy.
My God.
I'm wise beyond my years.
I give him a sharp, like, elbow to the side. Timmy. Sorry about my brother, Mrs. Daffodil. But now that I'm here, if you need any help banging anything out, I'm pretty handy with that tool.
Oh, Brandon, you are such a sweetheart. We are so lucky that you come back year after year. And thank you for coming early for senior camp counseling bonding. It's so important to get you settled before the campers and other counselors show up. I'm sure you don't mind that this little guy is tagging along with you, right? Huh?
One of my favorite things is the bonfire.
Great!
Yeah, don't worry about me, Mrs. Daffodil. I never mind coming early.
Don't flirt with me, Brendan. That's my number one rule. I tell you this every year.
Timmy, what'd I say?
Welp, I gotta get back to it. You're the last to arrive. The other senior counselors are in Cabin B if you want to catch up with them. See you tonight at the welcome bonfire.
Thanks, Debbie.
The boys walked up the damp path to a familiar row of log cabins with green roofs. Each cabin is lined with bunk beds. For most of the year, they are covered in cobwebs, but the beds are made and cozy and ready for campers. A girl wearing a Camp Solvaway t-shirt burst out of the door of Cabin B. Michelle has dark curly hair and a great 90s smile. She's the theater counselor, and every year she directs a musical that the kids perform on the last day of camp. She's running in slow motion, maybe. She runs up to Brendan and gives him a hug.
Brendan, Timmy, hi.
Oh, Brendan. Watch the arm.
Oh, sorry. I was so sad to hear about your arm and the letter you wrote me. Your handwriting was so bad, though. Obviously, I couldn't read it very well. Is it true that you're not going to be at Riddle University with me next year?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, it's true. And sorry about the letter. I got maybe 80% done, then I realized, just use the other hand.
You're so silly. I'm so sad that you're not going to be at Riddle University with me, though.
It's okay. I got lots of stuff going on.
Wait.
That's awesome.
Brendan, you told me it's not okay. You said it was awful.
Timmy, stop.
Michelle, can I plead of you that you don't do any David Ives this year?
I don't know what that is, Timmy. He's so smart. That's so crazy how smart you are.
Timmy's a real whiz kid.
David Ives is just along with Christopher Durang, is just a 90s playwright who's done time and time and time and time and time again. It's exhausting.
Hey, Timmy, why don't you go check out your bunk, bud?
Okay.
Before Timmy can check out his bunk, a shorter teen with bedhead, a nice face, and a flannel shirt over his camp shirt swings open the door. Sam was Brendan's bunkmate since day one of camp 10 years ago. He taught the kids to sail and swim, and he was a great time.
Whoa, is that my best friend and best friend's little brother I hear?
Holy scoliosis!
Hey man, did you get taller?
A little rough up your head?
Come on man, get off of me, I didn't get taller.
Yay, seems like you did. What about you, Timmy? Did you get taller, buddy?
Nope, my growth is stunted because I lift weights.
Timmy, what do you say? Are you going to make a friend this year at camp?
I don't know.
I think you will.
You know what? He is, Sam. He is going to make a friend this year at camp. I believe in you, Timmy.
Great news. The boys get ushered into the cabin by Sam.
Yeah.
Thank God for Adel. They see a tall man with frosted tips, a shell necklace, and a leather jacket over nothing sitting on the bed strumming a guitar. Chad was 22 and had technically aged out of being a counselor. He bullied Brendan as a camper, as a junior counselor, and again as a senior counselor. He taught the kids archery, insults, and how to be generally violent. He was a big-time douche. Well, 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 do my eyes deceive me. Is that the little baseball star back for the summer? And he brought his little brother to a party before camp. That's rich.
Brendan, I got this.
No, Timmy.
I've been lifting weights.
Timmy, please.
Sorry, is there a copy of the Jimmy Stewart film Harvey playing in front of my eyes? Because I definitely see a puka shell necklace. And also, might I remind you of David Foster Wallace's Consider the Lobster? Because you're fucking burnt. You stay out in the sun too long?
I did not understand a word this little nerd just said. What a nerd.
You're a Philistine.
I don't know what that means, so you can't hurt my feelings.
Troglodyte.
Still don't know. Brendan, get a hold of your little brother. Or can you not anymore with that exploded arm?
It's good to see you too, Chad.
Brendan?
How is it working at the lumber yard?
I sense a tone of sarcasm in your voice. It's really nice. It pays the bills. But I'm back here at my favorite job, being everyone's favorite counselor, Chad.
No sarcasm at all. I think it's totally cool that you're I guess exotic dancer is the term that people are using now.
Yeah. I mean,
congratulations, man.
When I signed up, I thought it was a real lumberyard and not a strip club, but
here we are. I couldn't think of the word strip club. Well, anyway.
Whatever, man.
It sounds cool. And hey, now that I'm 18, maybe I'll swing by and see you sometime.
You wish.
Brendan, what are you doing?
A blonde teenager with feather bangs flops down on a beanbag chair in the corner. Bridget was tall and always chewing gum. She was the art counselor, but mostly she had a general sense of disinterest. The Arts and Crafts building was a donation from her mother, one of the biggest bankers in Riddle City. Her family owned half of the camp and half of the city. She tortured Debbie every summer with threats, and she loved to constantly make bracelets while she was talking to people. Hi, Brendan, baby. Heard about your arm. Bummer city. She blows a kiss at Chad. Debbie tried to tell us that Chad couldn't be a counselor here anymore because he's too old. I told her to shut up because he's my boyfriend. I threatened to call my mommy, and Debbie agreed to keep him here for one more summer.
Did everybody hear about my arm? I mean, like, what's going on? I guess it was on a couple of the local news stations because no one's arm has ever exploded during a baseball game like that. But we taped it
on a VHS and we watch it all the time, me and my friends at high school. It's so funny. We turned it into a drinking game. Take a shot every time Brendan's arm explodes.
Yeah, I will say
just one shot.
Yeah, I will say in grade school during computer lab, I got a Hotmail about it. It's going around. I also saw it on E-Bombs World. The video's on E-Bombs World.
Look, if everyone must know, yes, my arm exploded. But doctors say it's going to heal up real nice in 3 or 4 years, and then I'm going to be back to doing everything that everyone else does.
Just in time for your baseball career, right, Brendan?
No, not right. Wait, are you being mean? It's not right. My baseball career is over.
Yeah. Anyways, beer? As the sun sets, the senior counselors start a fire and start drinking beers and eating s'mores to kick off the summer. Timmy gets thrown a Crystal Pepsi and starts drinking it quickly. He finishes that and starts another. It's a party. So, Timmy, tell me, how old are you now?
Old enough. My mom told me not to talk to dipshits. Your accent may be from Georgia, but your attitude's from Arkansas.
Well, then I think it's time you hear the story of the Camp Solvaway Lake Ghost. Don't scare him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't listen to him, Timmy. It's just a legend creeps like him used to scare kids.
Uh-huh.
Tell it! Tell it! All right, sounds like I'm telling it, Timmy. Here's the story of the Camp Solvaway Lake Ghost.
There once was a counselor named Jonathan. He was the meanest counselor Camp Solvaway had ever seen. Until me, of course. He had been bullied as a camper every year. The second he was in the position of power, it all went to his head. His favorite thing to do was be on the lake in his canoe. It's the only time anyone ever saw him happy. His campers pranked him and sabotaged his canoe, assuming he was a strong swimmer. When he started to drown, he screamed for help. Maybe the kids weren't strong enough, or maybe they didn't want to save him, but either way, Jonathan died in that lake. The next summer, kids started to die, one by one by one, but not just in any old way. Coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, they would get killed or hurt while they did their favorite activities. Everyone noticed a teenager walking on the lake, cackling on the first day of camp every year. Legend says Jonathan the Ghost was going to make sure no kid ever had fun at Camp Solvaway ever again.
What?
Nothing is more tragic than not being able to do what you love. And Jonathan loved that kind of heartbreak. Stares down at Brendan's arm. Chad leans down and gets close to Timmy's face. What's your favorite thing to do at camp, Timmy?
I guess if I had to choose one, it would be three. Number one, read. Number two, be with my brother. And number three, learn.
Well, look out for the lake ghosts when you're reading, being with your brother, and learning.
What?
We wouldn't want you getting killed.
Ah! Come on, Chad.
Brendan, I want to go home. I want to go home.
Come on, Chad. Back off. Timmy, don't listen to him. There's no such thing as the Camp Solvaway lake ghost, okay? Everybody knows that all those kids that were murdered were because a crazy man with a sadistic streak of violence broke into the camp that summer. Not some stupid lake ghost.
Oh!
Don't listen to these guys. It's not real, Timmy. You're safe here. Nothing bad can happen at Camp Solvaway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, Brendan, so you're saying it's less Stephen King and more Truman Capote?
Timmy, nobody knows what that means, buddy, but it does seem like it's getting pretty late. Maybe time for you to go to bed.
Wait, you guys, why didn't Debbie show up?
Oh, she's probably getting hammered.
Timmy!
She's, like, old. You guys, we have to go check on her. Come on!
The gang makes their way up the hill, a little drunk and or jacked up on Crystal Pepsi. When they make it to the camp director cabin, all the lights are on, and Debbie's old record player is playing loudly inside. The curtains were shut tightly so they couldn't see in. The door was locked and had red splatters all over it. There was an envelope taped to the door.
Debbie?
Debbie?
Come on, Debbie. Come
Debbie,
get a beer
come
with
out
us.
And play.
Debbie!
David's not here.
What are you doing?
Come on out.
Come on, guys. She's busy.
Chad chuckles and rips the envelope off the door and reads it quickly.
Ah, Chad, you're going to ruin the paint on the door. You got to take tape off slow.
That might be evidence.
Props to good old Debbie. The blood looks pretty real.
Well, it looks like Debbie wants us to do a spooky scavenger hunt to bond the night before camp. Here you go, Timmy. Why don't you read it? You have glasses.
Love me or hate me, it's always emotional. Nice for just yourself, for others, promotional. I'm an expression of imagination and skill. You can find me with your hands, some paint, or a quill. Oh, it's sort of an AABB rhyme scheme.
Sorry about him.
It's okay. What do you think it is, Brendan?
Me? Probably baseball bat? Baseball catch?
That's so cute.
Third base? I mean, not that I want to go to third base. I'm not even thinking about third base.
What do you think, Timmy?
Oh, love me or hate me, so it's not Chad. It's always emotional. I'll have to think on it. Oh! Is it a dream?
Well, what did it say about... Was there something in there about writing on it? Timmy, I'm asking you. You're the one who's asked the note.
Love me or hate me, it's always emotional. Nice for just yourself, for others, promotional. I'm an expression of imagination and skill. You can find me with your hands, some paint, or a quill. Is it a book?
What about like a picture or a drawing?
Oh, all these blood splatters are reminding me of Lichtenstein's pop art, also considered one of Andy Warhol's rivals. It must be art.
Art? Hey, that works.
We should go to the Arts and Crafts building. Debbie, we're buzzed. Don't turn this into a wild goose chase. There's a storm about to hit. Ugh. Okay, fine. You guys, let's just get this over with so we can go back to drinking.
Okay.
Did anyone get my request to change the building to the Art and Paul Center?
Your brother is so annoying.
He does so well with my mom's friends. It's
ew.
Like, I know.
Lie-da-die-die-die-die-die-die.
It's not even that topical of a reference.
Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon.
That's not, it's the 90s.
If it storms, I'm going to need to find a trash bag to wrap my cast in. I can't get this thing wet or my arm could explode again.
Michelle points her flashlight through the winding path in the woods up to the arts and crafts cabin that was filled with mostly beads for Bridget's bracelet making. The girls lead the way, arm in arm and giggling while pointing the flashlight ahead of them. The boys trail behind them, grumpy that this party turned into work. Timmy loves a good challenge and he's just happy to be at any party at all.
Oh boy. Ah, this feels good. I mean, after that whole Jonathan ghost story, I gotta admit, Brendan, I was a little rattled.
Hey, Timmy, hang back for a second, bud. Look, you don't have to try to impress these guys, okay? Don't worry about what they think. Just save your energy for your peer group. When the other campers get here, Timmy, that's when you're really gonna come alive.
Oh, I'm not trying to impress anyone. I just can't help it. It's the way I'm wired.
Well, you're not. You're not impressing them. So I'm...
How to explain this? Some people are just gifted, while others are gestures towards you.
Timmy, you know when you used to come to my baseball games?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know how you would see people and they would strike out over and over and over again, and you could tell it was really getting in their heads because all they were thinking about was hitting the ball. But when I would go up to the plate, I had a head full of absolute air. And I would hum those dingers right over the fence line every time I got up.
Use that expression.
Oh, I would bang those dongers.
Ah, boy.
Dongers is actually what they call home runs, which is fucking wild.
You know what, Timmy? I think that you're going to have a really successful summer. I feel it. I think that things are really going to turn around for you.
But you got to stop trying so hard, Timmy. Just be easy. Go with the flow, man.
I think I know what you're saying. Cracks open a new Crystal Pepsi. As Van Halen sang in the commercials for this drink, right now.
Huh.
Be in the moment.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And can I give you a tip, dude? Like just another one, just from old Sam. Rub your sunscreen in. Every year you just sort of place it on your skin and everyone laughs. So I think that this year I'd say rub that sunscreen in and listen to your brother's advice.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, rub it in?
Yeah, Timmy. The sunscreen has to absorb into the dermis.
Oh. I mean, I understand now. Okay, I'll rub it in.
Whoa, what am I doing?
Wait, I'm rubbing in sun lotion and I'm rubbing off on you.
Timmy must be rubbing off on me, Sam. It's so good that you're here. I can't wait to crack some beers and have a summer.
Yeah. Are you guys putting on sunscreen at night? So embarrassing.
When they reach the cabin, the lights flicker on and reveal there is an easel in the center of the room with a riddle written on it in red. What was it written in? The paint shelf looked untouched. Above the riddle it read, "If you don't finish the scavenger hunt, you're next." Timmy reads the riddle out loud.
Holy scoliosis! There's another one. I sit still unless I am poked. Brendan, grow up.
I didn't say anything.
You made a gesture with your hands, a hole and a finger.
But you don't know what that means.
Can we focus?
Yeah.
God, you guys are so immature.
I sit still unless I am poked. I'm safe until I'm provoked. You'll die if I'm in your throat, Brendan. But I'll carry you if you decide to float.
Ice. My beer's getting warm. Does anyone see any ice?
Is it? I sit still unless I'm provoked. I'm safe until I'm provoked. You'll die if I'm in your throat. Water?
Yeah, if water's in your throat, you'd be drowning. Well, not me. I can hold my breath for 6 minutes.
And the fourth line is, I'll carry you if you decide to float. And water, of course, it makes you as buoyant as possible. Especially salt water. Dead Sea.
I think these are all going to be locations.
Oh, it's probably the Camp Solvaway Lake.
That's such a good idea, Timmy. You are so smart.
Why did you tousle my brother's hair? Tousle my hair.
Oh, sorry. It's so tempting. It's also so hard to tousle because there's so much gel. Like a challenge.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to put more gel on it if people keep tousling it, just so everybody knows.
Just so you know, Brendan put on 40 sprays of Draco Noir.
Ooh.
Okay, Timmy, what are you doing?
It's working.
Michelle, it wasn't 40 sprays, okay? It was maybe 40 spritzes.
Whatever it is, you smell flammable.
Whoa.
In a good way. Sorry, in a good way. Sorry.
No, it's not.
They're just spitting up on their shirts.
Sorry. Sorry, I thought you were throwing up and it made me throw up.
Yeah, me too. And then it was just, The storm was overhead now and a crack of lightning hit just outside the cabin. Just as Michelle gets her flashlight back on, the lights flicker back on, creating a strobe light effect in the room. Brendan and Timmy notice the look of horror on the other camp counselors' faces before they notice what they're looking at. Bridget lay on the floor, bleeding out from her neck. She was somehow stabbed with arts and craft scissors. There is a beaded necklace around her neck that wasn't there a second ago. The beads on it spelled, not a friendship necklace.
Oh my God, Bridget! Hold on! I know CPR! But I can't do it with one arm. I just stand there.
The five of them stood in shock, staring at Bridget's body on the ground. Which one of you did this to my freaking girlfriend? Was it you, Brendan? Timmy? I'm gonna get you.
Daunting diabetes. We would never, and even if we wanted to, how would we have? We were with you all the whole time.
Calm down, calm down. First of all, we have to check her pulse. I kneel down and put my fingers on her wrist to see if I can feel a pulse.
What? Do you feel one?
I honestly don't know. I don't know what this is. I don't know what I'm doing. I've seen this on TV shows that people do this.
Brendan, stand back. When Mom wasn't looking, I stole one of her tiny defibrillators. Clear. Pepsi. Clear. Pepsi.
You're not doing anything. You're just shocking a dead body. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is insane. Do you think Debbie killed Bridget because she was threatening her all the time? This is insane.
The one thing that we know is that Bridget is dead, okay? And we were all here together. Did anyone see anything? Let's go down the line. Sam the man.
No. I was looking out the window and saw the lightning crack outside. And then when I looked back and the lights flickered on, God, the strobe. I can't focus. I can't see. Sam walks over and turns the lights on and off so the strobe light effect is done and the lights are just on. I didn't see anything. Michelle? No, I didn't see anything. I feel like I heard a lot going on, but I didn't.
Please don't.
Oh my God, she's dead. And in the place that her mom paid for. This is horrible. I obviously didn't kill the love of... Well, she wasn't the love of my life. I wasn't publicly calling her my girlfriend.
Now's not the time, Chad. But we were hooking up.
We were not officially together. So if you know anyone single, I'm not saying that I'll never love again or anything like that. I'm young. But this is horrible. I would never do this to her.
I walk over to the easel where the riddle was written, and I wipe my pinky finger and whatever that writing was, and then put it in my mouth.
Well?
What does it taste like?
I don't know. I've never had paint.
Do you taste any sort of irony substance?
Irony substance? I don't know. I've never had iron.
Oh, boy. That's why your arm shattered.
Come on.
Based on the fact that there's a body, a dead body, in the room right now, I think it's safe to say that it's blood. Look, the red paint is not, hasn't even been cracked open. Oh, my God. Is Debbie doing this to us?
Brendan, you could have any manner of disease.
Could somebody else taste it? Because I truly, I mean, this is what blood tastes like. I've only ever tasted my blood, but it tastes different.
Dude,
I think,
stop
I keep going back and getting more and more. You know what I think I need to do? This makes sense. I need a little bit of my blood so that I can taste. What is sharp in the room that I could get some of my blood with? Oh, I go over and I grab the scissor that's in Bridget's neck.
Oh,
I go,
that's also evidence.
Wait a second. I'll taste some of Bridget's blood. That's so much. And I dig another finger and taste some of that blood.
It's a cocktail of disease.
Go back to the original blood. Honestly, can someone else do this? Because I don't know if what I'm tasting...
No one's going to do this.
Here's what I think. I think it's blood. I think both are blood.
I think you're having a real panicked trauma response here. I think you're going to look back on this moment and be pretty horrified.
I'm straight.
You're crying. We're all freaking out, man. I'm done. Let's get out of here. No, I'm not risking any of us getting hurt. Look what the sign says. Look what it says. It says that if you don't finish this, you're next. So let's finish this. Let's solve Debbie's puzzle. And then the moment we can find a way to help ourselves without getting killed, we'll do it, okay? We need to keep on the plan.
We need to stick with what we used to call in the baseball team, the buddy system, okay? Everyone needs to adopt the buddy and watch your buddy's back so that we can keep everyone safe.
Are you sure we all shouldn't split up and wander off into the woods? I'm just, like, spitballing ideas.
I love that. I love that as a direction.
Oh, everyone already scrambled.
Oh, everyone come back. I actually I like Brendan's idea a lot.
We'll just do buddies. Obviously, we want to pair people off with who we think will be able to protect them. So,
Brendan, you can stop eating the blood.
Oh, am I still doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point, it's just subconscious.
Yeah. I'll put my hands in my pockets. Okay, that doesn't work. I'll just cross my arms. Chad, unfortunately, I'm going to say that you should go with my brother Timmy, since you are the strongest one here.
What?
Right, but we gotta all solve this riddle together. So really, you're just...
Of course, we're gonna stick together, but it's just like you also should look out for your buddy.
All right, I'm looking out for one person, me.
Okay, well, actually, we do have five people, so it does make sense that Chad is his own buddy. So me and Timmy will stick together. Perfect. And then Sam and Michelle, let's not do that. Let's mix it up a little more. Let's do Sam and my brother and me and Michelle.
And then Sam goes, I'll keep an eye out for Timmy, man. Don't worry. You protect Michelle, Hoo-Ink.
Hey, Sam, thanks so much because
for what?
I like Michelle. So you doing this is actually like way better because I want to spend more time with her.
Great. Yeah. All right, let's try not to get killed tonight.
Did you know that?
No, dude, I love that. It makes total sense. I mean,
you love her? I'll back up.
No. I love that for you.
Okay, you're in love with me?
No. How to explain this? You guys ready to go? Let's go to the lake and solve the next riddle. I don't want to get killed.
I'm not ready to go. I just had a bombshell dropped on me.
No, Sam? Dude, I'm not in love with you. Yes, yeah,
can I bend your ear for a second? Try explaining whatever you want to get across in baseball terms.
Hey, dude, I don't want to go to any base with you. I want you to go to bases with Michelle and be in love.
Okay.
Great.
And, go team.
Best friends on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Best friends. Great.
There you go. Sometimes you just gotta be bunt.
Guys, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
When they walk up to the lakefront, they see a neon flag across the lake and two canoes pulled up on the shore, ready and waiting for them. The five of them started to make their way across the lake in a canoe to the flag. Hi, I'm Shane Slice. Hello, my name's Ashley Waters. Sydney Magnuson. I'm Henry Moss.
Hi, my name is Sharon Ingalls, and my favorite part of camp is every day feels like a week.
All right.
And you need to, if you need help, Aaron, punch up on any of those names. Like, yeah. You could do, like, Clancy Scringles or Shelley Parmigino. Just let me know, because I got a bunch of them.
Are you seeing, like, a bunch of numbers and letters, like, rush towards you when you close your eyes? Just absolute nonsense names.